Great. So we've been talking about testimony quite a bit the last few weeks, and I'd just like to kick off by sharing, before I share a testimony from my own life, speaking about what testimony is. So testimony tells the work of what God's doing in our lives. Testimony is so powerful. When we share a testimony, we choose to focus on what God is doing. Okay? And through sharing testimonies, our eyes are raised to Jesus and what he's doing and what he wants to do. Okay? And testimonies encourage us, but they also ignite us. In Hebrew, testimony means do it again. So when we share a testimony, miracles can happen. So throughout Jesus' ministry, people come to him because they've heard what he's been doing in the lives of others. People come to him, they come and see him because of what he's been doing, because of the healings he's done, because of the teachings he's taught. And they come to him and they seek him because of what they've heard. As I share part of my story, I want you to be encouraged and have your expectations raised to what God can do and what God is doing. And Bill Johnson says, when you speak out of your experience, you're not just giving information, you're giving the power for transformation. I'll read that again. He says, when you speak out of your experience, you are not just giving information, you are giving the power for transformation. So yeah, earlier this year in July, I went out to Armenia for 10 days, and we went out and we helped on a kids camp out there. We were working alongside Steve and Sarah Trevitt, who the church supports. And so we're leading this evangelistic sports camp, and we did quite a lot out there. We went out with a team of about 20 of us. And yeah, I didn't know many of them before going, but now I know them all quite well, which was amazing. And 2 days before going out to Armenia, I went on a walk to pray. And I was walking around Ruskin Park, my local park, and I sat down on the bench halfway through. And I was listening to worship music. And suddenly I felt God put this phrase in my heart. And the phrase was, I want to know you. I want to know you. Now, I have 329 Christian songs on my phone. And I'd shuffled them, so I had no clue what song was coming up next. And then suddenly the song I was listening to came to an end. And the next one started, and it's by Jesus Culture, and it's called I Want to Know You. So at this point I knew, wow, that's a God incident. Something's happening, but I didn't know what. And I just prayed that through going out to Armenia and through serving out there, that I would get to know him in a new way and from a fresh perspective. And then we set off, we get there, and 2 days into the trip, we were in Yerevan, the capital of Armenia. And we were walking around this market, just about to go off before we went into the village where we were leading this camp. And I was walking around this market and I was speaking to a friend, and she started telling me a bit about her life and how she'd grown up without her father. And as a result, she found it really difficult to see God as a father, because she hadn't grown up with that presence in her life. And then suddenly this hit me, and I was like, I too don't really see God as a father. And I've had a father around me my whole life, and I still didn't have this revelation of him as being my father. And then a few days later, we were in the village, and I got up one morning and I went for a bit of a walk. And I started walking up this mountain next to the village. And after about an hour of walking, I sat down on the rock and I opened my Bible and I turned to the book of Acts, and then I read a chapter from there. And then I prayed that day God would shift something in my life, and I'd get to know him. Going back to that, I want to know you. I would get to know him in another way, in a new way. And I would see something new of him that day, and he'd shift something in my life. But I had no idea what was about to happen. I just had high expectation. And later that evening, we met together for our daily worship time. And a friend who was later nicknamed Pastor Pete shared a thought for the day amongst our team. And he spoke about friendship and how iron sharpens iron, and then talked about how we should live lives for Jesus wherever we are and whoever we're around, and not just on a mission trip, but we should go out and we should speak to those non-Christians around us, speak to those who don't know Jesus with authority and with power and with joy and excitement. And now if I look at my life, I often talk to people about Jesus at school. Most of my friends know I'm a Christian, but I've felt like when I've shared the gospel, I've just lacked some boldness. And after Pete had shared, we went back into a time of worship, and then one of the leaders felt God speak to them about someone in the group really wanting to give everything to Jesus and be filled with the Spirit. And my friend Herbie, he came and he stepped up and he said it was him. So we all began to pray for Herbie. We're laying hands on him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we prayed, it began to overflow into us. Okay, and I was filled with joy. I began to laugh for about 45 minutes straight. And I just couldn't stop myself from laughing. Two people are here tonight who saw that. They were, yeah, a bit baffled too. But yeah, as the Holy Spirit moved among us, some of us were shaking uncontrollably on the floor. Some of us were speaking in new tongues. And most of us were laughing nonstop. And now anyone who would have walked around, walked and seen this would have been completely it would have blown their minds. And that's just like on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And when the believers receive the Holy Spirit, and people who see this think they're drunk. And that's exactly what happened to us. We looked a bit drunk. But as I was, I think I was lying on the floor and I was laughing and I couldn't stop laughing. And I felt this deep peace and excitement within me. And suddenly I felt like a child of God. And it's only when you see yourself as a child that you can see him as a father. In Matthew 18:3, it says, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." Unless you turn from your sins, unless you repent and become like children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So what does it mean to be a child of God? When we're born again into the kingdom, when we repent and turn from our sins and choose to follow Jesus, we become children of God. It's who we were created to be. A child's relationship with their father is one of total trust, of total love and a security. And that is the revelation I needed at that time. Because faith is about relationship and not regulations, not religion, not rules, but it's about that relationship with the Father. And as Father of the children, we can keep coming back to him, and we need to keep coming back to him and not let anything stop us, because he sits there with his arms wide open for us. Now, the verse I want to talk to you quite a bit about tonight is 1 John 3:1. You can turn to it in your Bibles if you want to. Great. 1 John 3:1. Great. I'm reading from the NLT translation, and it says, "See how very much the Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children, because they don't know him." I'll read it again. "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children, because they don't know him." I love this verse because it speaks of our newfound identity in Christ. It begins by saying, "See how much the Father loves us." In some translations it says, "How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us." The gospel is the good news that the Father loves us so much that he sent his Son into the world to die for us, and not just to die for us, but to die as us, so that we wouldn't have to pay the price of death. And then he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. And then the Father sent the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to live in us. And yeah, Jesus loves each and every one of us, no matter what we've done, what we've been through. And he's lavished this love upon us. And God calls us his children. And the verse says, "That is what we are." This is our identity and what our life should be built on, the fact that we are his children. I'm going to read that verse again. "See how very much the Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children, because they don't know him." The word we can easily miss in this is the first word, "see." John is telling us to see. He's telling us to look up and see. That's not a suggestion, it's a command. And we need to see, we need to look upon our lives at what God's doing and what he's already done, and we need to give him praise and thanksgiving for it. We need to keep coming back to the cross, keep looking upon it and keep praising him for giving his child so that we may live in relationship with him as a child of God, as a child of the Most High, as a child of the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Healer, the Saviour, the Comforter, the Rock, the Cornerstone, the Way and the Truth and the Life, as a child of the Father. See, you only begin to know who you are when you recognise whose you are. When you choose to focus on what the Creator says about you instead of the created. When we're surrounded in the world where there's a huge identity crisis, people don't know who they are, so they seek security in other things. Because they don't know their value, they don't recognise that they're known and loved by God the Father. Think about the problems that we face in our world. Much of the depression, the anxiety, the suicide, the self-harm, the greed, the starvation, the slavery, the racism, the sexism, the gang issues, the sexual problems, the drug and alcohol issues, the gender issues. Many of these problems are symptoms. They're symptoms of an unstable identity which is found and belongs in the world. If we don't know God as a Father, we seek security and stability and identity in the world, which doesn't know his love. But when we become a Christian, when we come into his family, as it says in Matthew 12:50, anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. When we know the identity of Jesus as the Son of God, we are safe, we are secure, we are free, and we begin to see who we really are. But what the enemy wants to do is the enemy wants to blind us from this revelation. You know, the evening after I received this revelation of being a child of God, I found it almost impossible to get to sleep. I felt the enemy try and anger me and try and find a way, any way he could, to try and pull me away from that revelation. I felt as if I was being harassed. Why was this happening? It was because the revelation I'd received was of value. And he chooses to attack what's valuable. But that night I made the decision to worship Jesus in the midst of it all, to set my eyes upon him. And when our eyes are fixed on God's glory, there is no space for any lies of the enemy. So going back to those lyrics, I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. When we have that want to know him, that desire to know him, that hunger for him, he reveals who he is to us. And who we are as his children. See, the more you get to know God, the more you get to know who you are. And this is through the power of his Holy Spirit who lives in us.